Big news! The sale of the season is here. It's Wayfair's Black Friday sale, and it's on now. Right now, get up to 80% off everything home and everything you need for the season ahead. Save on quality furniture for every room in the house. Essentials for the guest room, whether it's new bedding or a new mattress. Kitchen and dining must-haves for all your hosting needs. And seasonal home finds like throw pillows and decor. Or favorites that you'll use all year long. And with amazing doorbuster deals from November 27th through December 2nd, you can shop the things you love at even lower prices at Wayfair. Plus, you can sit back and relax with Wayfair's fast and easy shipping. Everything home comes straight to your home. And the best part? Free delivery just in time for the holidays. This Black Friday, Wayfair deals are bigger and better than ever. There's no place like home for the holidays. And no place like Wayfair for Black Friday savings. So don't wait. Black Friday ends soon. Shop Wayfair's Black Friday sale now and save up to 80% off at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Moncrief on News Talk.
If you're in your, say, 20s, you may have noticed how much stuff your parents have, stuff that they might not even use anymore, yet they seem to treasure it. They may even have promised you a few items after you die, but you don't want it. In the US, they call this kind of thing boomer jump, junk, depicting grasping, materialistic older people versus Gen Z who aren't interested in such frivolous things. But is it really as simple as that? Roisin Murphy is an architect. Afternoon, Roisin.
Good afternoon, Sean.
The thing about so-called boomer junk is that they really do treasure it almost to the... Now, it might be actually worth money, but it seems as if they've invested something in it that it was hard won, that they had to save up to buy, and therefore they think it's valuable.
Oh, I definitely think that. I think that I am one of that generation. I think that there wasn't much around... you know, in terms of stuff in my parents. So when we, the first paycheck you went, you bought something either designer or lovely for yourself. And you also had access to property in a way that the younger generation don't have. So we were busy accumulating in the event that we were somehow going to buy something good and something for life. But we also had places to put it. And I think, God bless us, the younger generation, they just do not have the space. They're, you know, and that's what they're saying. They're saying they don't have that kind of luxury of accumulating bread makers.
Yes. Yeah, I think I used to.
Nobody does.
I had one in my shed for quite some time, all right, yeah.
Did you have a pasta maker? Do I have a pasta maker? And anybody who's ever worked in a school fair, there's a certain number of things that always turn up at the bric-a-brac stall, and one of them is bread makers, pasta makers, and also, you know, the large dish that takes a kind of series of condiments, as they call them. So it's like it has maybe have space for 10 salsa, avocado, and everything. Nobody has space for those. Not even the my generation. You're like looking at that, going, where am I going to put that?
Yeah, foot spas as well. That's another one. That was if you couldn't think of anything else to get them for Christmas, get them a foot spa, and they go straight into the shed.
And the thing is, can you effectively blame the middle aisles and certain supermarkets for it as well? Is there a bit where you're going, like we've been, you know, you're out there with the trolley and you're heading towards milk, but then something glinting and gorgeous gets your eye. And it's all designed to kind of make, you know, seasonally turns out like the rose art but it's really designed for people with property. So it is a different kettle of fish for the younger generation, I feel.
Yeah. Though at the same time, a lot of, because I suppose if you're a younger person and you are in the lucky position of finding a place to live, you're going to buy your furniture in IKEA or, you know, JISC or one of those places. Whereas their parents' generation.
I don't think they do. I mean, I had a quick kind of ask the students today, and they're saying, one of them says, it's terrible. My mother bought everything in IKEA because IKEA was posh. Our generation as well. We went up to Northern Ireland and bought it. So there was this thing of like it's IKEA. And IKEA was like a Scandi design thing in our heads. It's changed for them though. For them, they're inclined to go to Adverts or thrift shops or Oxfam to look for a better piece of furniture. And they, you know, they're much more careful about what they buy. I think you don't ever covet your parents' stuff. You covet your grandparents' stuff maybe. Or you would never covet your parents' stuff. It's like when you ever see one of your kids when they go thrift shopping, they all look like they're wearing your mother's wedding outfit, which is really disconcerting. But to them, it's a bit like how, you know, I suppose an awful lot of the millennials also love mid-century stuff because that's not really their parents' IKEA or, you know what I mean? It kind of skips the beat.
Well, I suppose because their parents grew up with mid-century stuff, so they just think it's just furniture because they are mid-century themselves.
No, exactly that. And I think my parents all bought stuff from the colonial period. They bought everything from the big house. And they might have moved into a bungalow, but it was decorated like it was the inside of Rusborough House, including the lamps with the tassels on them, the whole lot. Brass fenders. If they could have put a little butler in there, they would have done it. And you just went to Chesterfield Suites, all any of that stuff they love.
Yeah, but, and even whether one likes it or not, that stuff was well made.
It was
unfortunately built to last. Though, exactly on that point, one texter says, my parents died. We sadly ended up getting rid of all the brown mahogany furniture, which I know they treasured, but it simply wouldn't fit in our homes. They all went to the charity shops.
This is really true. And anybody who, you know, I remember my parents moved to a bungalow from, they were in the army, so they had these old army houses they were given before they could get out and get their own houses. But all the furniture they'd gotten, which was years ago, they used to go to auction rooms, was the IKEA. So they'd all go around the place and hoover up all this furniture from the great houses were shutting down. None of it fits into a bungalow. Really difficult. So, but that brown stuff is definitely, and I'm not being disparaging, that's what it's referred to, is back in. It's back in with a bang. Like, it is, because of its quality, because of the fact that there is almost new mahogany just isn't in the same place as the older mahogany, even in terms of windows and all that sort of stuff. We know the new timbers don't perform the same way, and a lot of it is protected. So you're not allowed to have it. So it's becoming, finally kind of coming back into vogue at some point.
Okay, who has a house big enough, though, to accommodate it?
Well, you see, you're moving into different architecture now. If you're moving house now and you're a young person, you're probably moving into an old shop down the country, or you're moving into a repurposed building. Very few, you know what I mean? If you're really at that, the ones that people do, taking advantage of the dereliction grants and all that sort of stuff, and they're moving into older properties and they're looking for taller ceilings. Like, that understanding of architecture has kind of trickled down through the generations, and there is that understanding of space and design, and they're not looking for small ceiling spaces. So if they're lucky enough, because otherwise what they're doing, and this really is the truth, is they are still collecting, but they're collecting different things. They may go to a thrift shop and look for photographs, for instance, or albums or things like that, things that they can move easily and collect easily. I think people instinctively like to collect. So they an awful lot of interest in kind of older books and in vintage photographs.
Yeah. Has the entire concept of the good room or the good cutlery or the good glasses, you know, that you had a set of kind of sherry glasses that you took out once a year when the parish priest visited kind of thing, is that gone now?
I think it hasn't really, but I think what's happened is people tend to buy what's in fashion. So they'll go from silver and stainless steel to what we call rose gold or bronze or black cutlery. So they'll go through periods, but they'll get the kind of cheaper version in one of the smaller shops. But because of sustainability, for an awful lot of us, you're kind of looking to see, would you go and get it on adverts? Would you actually find some vintage? Cutlery is a really tricky one. It's very difficult because of the EPNS. So it doesn't really last. But there's definitely, in terms of glass and delf, people are either making their own delf, they're using throwing shapes up in Newmarket Square. There's a kind of a interest in better rather than mass produced because of sustainability. And you know what I mean? So, I mean, I think you can, it's difficult to collect furniture now, but it's easier to hang on to a set of cutlery and be interested in that. But I think vintage stuff is, for young people, that stuff is definitely having a moment. But it's harder to collect and keep anything bigger if you're moving, you know, if you're renting.
Yeah, so, if you don't have the space for it.
Yeah.
That's the thing. And sometimes you kind of, I think I've one or two things in my house that are just lovely, but don't really serve any function, if you know what I mean.
Like what?
I've an old Valve radio. Now it does work, and I got a fella put a lot of time and trouble in sourcing valves from Russia and all sorts of places to get it to work. But I rarely turn it on, even though the noise of an old Valve radio is lovely. But I still think it's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, and I have the last kind of portable gramophone, years ago. Yeah, so I got a portable gramophone that I made my poor brother bring back from Camden for me on a boat. It weighed a ton. There was no way it was portable. So I would have that. And I think that's lovely. And my kids have loved that. And I think that's because there's a bit of a sound thing going on. Have you heard of a sound room? Have you heard of anything like that? There's these new kind of sound experiences, a big thing. So I think that is a lovely thing. And it kind of, you know, it's very rare. But it also does something different than just looks good. It kind of brings you right back to a period. It's like a smell. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The smell of an old book, no?
Yeah, I love the smell of an old book.
Yeah, and those things I think are very evocative because they're not very consumer-driven either. It's not that, I think the thing that people probably react to is the notion of good stuff. That this idea that we all behaved well and were good for the priests and the kind of, so I think there's a thing that antiques are doing different things now for us. And you know the way that thing of what people experience about antiques is probably changing as well. So the market for books is still there for an older book, but I definitely think Val Radio is a lovely thing, especially if you got it wired up. I had an old 3-in-1 valve one, but we use it to sit the telly on in a kind of a ironic way. And I said to the kids, could get it wired up, and they said, no, we're definitely not doing that. And that really, like, too far, you've gone too far, mother.
Okay. Well, you should just defy them. Do you remember when fondue sets were all the rage? Are they gone now?
Oh, I have. Do you know what I have in my attic? A thing called a raclette. Have you ever heard of it?
No.
It's like a French cooking thing. I blame my sister-in-law because she's Parisian, so she's notions. The French still like fondue and funny cooking devices that they put in the middle of their table. But I think, and my brother lovingly gave this to me, says, you love this. And I was like, there is no way I'm hauling that out with three kids to... But you put tiny bits of food in it and cook it. I think it's a European thing, but that the Irish really, we got as far as barbecue and that was it. But I think they're still popular in certain quarters.
Yeah, they'll come back. I bet you they'll come back. And there's probably people hanging on to them saying, oh, when they come back, it'll be worth a fortune.
Well, it's not Irish thing. The fear is like somebody's giving you something secondhand. Now, they're happy to get rid of it because nobody in Ireland likes to really throw anything out. I blame our poor history. But you've always lived in fear that maybe they'll come to the house one day and expect you to take it out. There's that kind of thing. And I think that's the thing about parents gifting things to their kids as well. You know, just be careful.
Because they'll go looking. Yeah, they absolutely will. Yeah. Roisin, thanks a million. As ever, that was the architect, Roisin Murphy there. One person says, we still have my father's armchair. We did get it recovered, but it has great sentimental value. Someone else says, I just spent the weekend polishing my parents' silverware and selection of glasses. The glassware are just dust collectors on display, and the silverware can't be put in the dishwasher. Well, no, it's probably probably created before the invention of the dishwasher. Every single charity shop is full of those tea sets and Waterford crystal glasses. It is junk. Someone else says, we moved into a new build and had to diplomatically tell my in-laws that we didn't want the furniture they were offering. I'm sure that was a very interesting conversation. My parents have a dining room table for 8 people that was imported to Ireland by my grandmother. They have since moved it to France where they live, and they keep talking about how they're leaving it to me in their will. I live in a small ex-council house and will never be able to fit it, plus the cost of moving it to Ireland. Madness. The only thing the kids need from the parents now is the house they live in, preferably fully furnished. Probably a lot of people might feel that way. Maybe not the fully furnished part. Maybe they're kind of happy enough. My dad loved books and our house growing up was full of them. Sadly, we donated his collection after he passed, and because you simply couldn't store them anywhere. Oh, yeah, when someone says antiques, a typewriter is a gorgeous thing to have. Yeah, along with my radio, I've a typewriter as well. That's probably older than anyone listening to this show right now.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.
Big news! The sale of the season is here. It's Wayfair's Black Friday sale, and it's on now. Right now, get up to 80% off everything home and everything you need for the season ahead. Save on quality furniture for every room in the house. Essentials for the guest room, whether it's new bedding or a new mattress. Kitchen and dining must-haves for all your hosting needs. And seasonal home finds like throw pillows and decor. Or favorites that you'll use all year long. And with amazing doorbuster deals from November 27th through December 2nd, you can shop the things you love at even lower prices at Wayfair. Plus, you can sit back and relax with Wayfair's fast and easy shipping. Everything home comes straight to your home. And the best part? Free delivery just in time for the holidays. This Black Friday, Wayfair deals are bigger and better than ever. There's no place like home for the holidays. And no place like Wayfair for Black Friday savings. So don't wait. Black Friday ends soon. Shop Wayfair's Black Friday sale now and save up to 80% off at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.